Well, let's pray and then we'll get started. Dear God, we thank you that we can worship you this morning. We thank you for all that's gone into our worship service up to now. Father, we are just grateful for all those who prepared it and led us and that we can worship you. God, we are grateful for the facility here. Just an awesome time of worship. I pray you'd be with me as I deliver this message. We pray that your word would really inspire us all. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There we go. Our theme for the year is being transformed. And that comes from Romans 12 and verse 2. That we don't want to be conformed to the pattern of this world, but we want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, transformed to what God wants us to be. So, I have a question for you today. Do you want to transform your life?
Yes.
Yes, amen. Okay, well, I won't ask for a show of hands, but that's the question, that's the topic, the title of my sermon today. Do you want to transform your life? And we're not talking about just changing your circumstances. Okay? So we're not just talking about, you know, getting a better job or getting a better place to live or, you know, if you're single, finding someone to marry. We're not talking about just changing your circumstances, but we're talking about spiritual transformation. Transformation from the inside out. Transforming your faith and your relationship with God. That's the kind of transformation that Paul was talking about in Romans and that we're going to talk about today. And I know there are lots of different people here today. You know, we have people here today who, you know, maybe you're visiting, maybe you've come for the first time today, or you've been here only a few times. We have people here who are studying the Bible and been coming for a while and thinking about, you know, making Jesus Lord and putting their faith in Him in a greater way than they ever have before. We have teens here, you know, who mostly come maybe because their parents make them come. And they've been watching, you know, this church their whole life and their parents' faith and just not sure about what direction they're going to go in their life. We have people here who become Christians recently. We have young Christians in the faith who want to grow. We have people here who've been Christians for a while, but maybe you feel stuck. You know, maybe you feel weak in your faith. You're not sure about where to go from here. And then we have people here who are maybe feeling okay about their faith, feeling pretty good about their relationship with God. Well, wherever you are, the question is the same. Do you want to transform your life? Do you want 2016 to be better than 2015? Are there things you'd like to change in your life? Maybe habits you'd like to overcome? You know, things that you would like to see be different. That's what we're going to talk about today. And I'm going to assume that everybody's answer to the question is yes. Okay. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Now, I know a lot of times we put the scriptures up there on the screen, but I'm not going to do that today. I am going to have some more slides with some more things, but I'm going to expect you to look in your Bibles. You know, and you can do that in 16th century technology, or you can do that with 21st century technology. I'm going to use 16th century up here, but whatever works for you. But I want you to look at the scriptures. We're going to be in Philippians 1. That's the only scripture we'll look at today, so it'll be easy. You don't have to flip around. And if you want to go home and look at it some more, it'd be easy to remember. It's Philippians 1, so there you go. I also don't have 3 points today. I know that's customary. You're supposed to have 3 points. But I sort of do. I have 3 questions for you today. Okay? How about that? I have 3 questions. Now, this one doesn't count. This is the title of the sermon. But I have 3 more questions for you today. So my first or my next question is... blah. Do you want transformed relationships with other people? Do you want transformed relationships with other people? in Philippians here, Paul describes his relationship with the Philippian church. So let's read that, starting in chapter 1, in verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ. Jesus Christ, it is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you were all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Okay. Paul talks about praying for them. He talks about how he feels about them. If you can read other places in the Bible, he started the church there. He visited it several times. He's going to visit it again after he wrote this letter. It was a church that he loved. And you can see that as he lays out here how he feels about the church, the kind of relationship that he had with them. And let's just go back through it. He says he thanks God for them. He's grateful for them. He appreciates them. They have done things that make him thankful. So, you know, he starts out, I'm thankful for you. I thank God for you. He's thankful for them. He's grateful for them. He also mentions joy, that when he prays for them, he remembers them with joy. So it's a joyful relationship. You know, we have joyful relationships, but sometimes we have some that aren't so joyful, right? Kind of burdening relationships. But that's not the relationship he had here. It wasn't a work relationship, a difficult relationship. It was a joyful relationship that he had with the church there. And joy is, of course, the theme of the book of Philippians. He uses the word joy or rejoice 14 times in a very short book. If you just flip, you see it's not long. But he uses that word over and over and over again. And part of it is because that's how he felt about the church there. He felt joy when he thought of them. They brought him joy. And then he talks about remembering them. And he remembers their partnership. He says they're partakers of the gospel together. And he remembers things that they did together and that they did for him. He says, you were a partner with me from the first day until now. And if you read later in chapter 4, he refers back to the early days of the gospel. After he planted the church there and he left, they sent him financial support for the rest of his ministry. And then the letter itself, he's talking about now. They sent him financial support right there while he was in prison in Rome. So they were partners with him and they sent him financial support from the beginning after he first planted the church there. And now several years later when he's writing this letter, they're still sending him support, sending people to encourage him. That's the kind of partnership they had. And so he has good memories of the relationship that they had together, Paul and the Philippian church. And then he says he's confident that God will bring to completion the good work that he began in them. He believes in them. You know, he believes in them. He is confident that they're going to continue to serve God, that they're going to continue to grow and do the work that God wants them to do, and that God's going to complete his work in them, that they'll become more and more like Jesus. He's confident of that. He believes in them. And then last he says, he holds them in his heart. He holds them in his heart. They were very special to him. You know, you read some other letters in the New Testament and you know, Paul frankly was irritated with some other churches. And you can see that in his letters, you know, the Galatian letter, the 1 Corinthian letter. But that's not how he feels about this church. He holds them in his heart. Says he yearns for them with the affection of Christ. He wanted to see them again. He's in prison, but he wanted to see them again. And you read the whole letter, and he mentions that a couple of times. I want to come to see you again. And if you read 1 Timothy, you see later he did get to visit them again. So he yearns, he wants to go see them again, and eventually he did. Now you think about this, you add all this up. You know, this is amazing. You know, this is amazing how Paul, the kind of relationship Paul had with this church. You know, and I can't claim to be Paul, but that's how I feel about our church. Amen. I feel this way about you guys. I really do. My question, of course, is, do you want transformed relationships with other people? Do you want relationships like this? Do you have relationships like this? Can you imagine someone writing a letter to you like this? And now today we have multiple ways to do that. You know, I don't know if anybody gets paper letters in the mail anymore, other than bills and, you know, advertisements. But we get email and we get text. You know, and we get, you know, just imagine, would someone write this, something like this to you? Do you have relationships right like this? You know, these words were written a long time ago, but they describe a very real relationship that Paul and the Philippians had. And it's here in the Bible so that we can see that kind of relationship and we can have the same kind of relationship today. This is the kind of relationship that we can have with other people. You know, growing up, I didn't really have this kind of relationships with people. I'm not sure... I was a good of a friend to other people, you know. And it usually, to have this kind of relationship, you got to be a good friend too, right? It doesn't just happen one way. And I wasn't such a great friend. I wanted close friendships, but they rarely seemed to happen. You know, it just wasn't who I was. I was more into myself, and so I didn't have these kind of relationships with people growing up, just the way I was naturally. But when I became a disciple of Jesus, he helped me change. He helped me change. And I'm not necessarily sure this is my strong suit, but God transformed my relationships and has given me many good relationships since I became a disciple. And many of them are here in this room. And I'm not going to, you know, give a list of names because I'll leave somebody out or something, but there are many people in this room that are very good friends of mine. And some of them have been friends of mine for decades. You know, decades. And I could call on them to do anything. Some of them I've only built friendships recently, in the past few months or the past couple of years. But in Christ, we can have relationships like this. And we can get very close and we can get, you know, we can trust people and know that they have our best interests in heart. Because we have a relationship like the one described here. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So these are the kind of relationships we can have in Christ. You know, and if you don't have relationships like this, you can. You can. God will give them to you if you pursue them. If you reach out, people here in this church will have relationships with you like that. Amen. And help you and build those relationships with you. That's what God wants to give us. That's part of what his church is supposed to be, a community of people that have relationships like this, that shine like a city on a hill to the rest of the world and show them how people are really supposed to treat one another. So that's what we can have, and that's what you can have if you don't feel like you have that in your life right now. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Good stuff. Now, my next question. Do you want a transformational relationship with God? Relationships with other people are great, and they help us tremendously in many ways. But to truly transform our life, we need a great relationship with God. And Paul writes about that here too. So let's keep reading right where I left off. In verse 9, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Okay, Paul talks about his prayer for them, but he's describing a life plugged into Jesus Christ. That's what he says at the end. He says, this all comes through Jesus Christ. He's describing what happens in your life and what can happen in your life when you have a close relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. And let's look at it. He first says, he prays that their love would abound more and more. And that their love would grow more and more. You know, love is the key to transformation. If we want to transform our life, we have to be plugged in to the love of God. We have to understand God's love for us. And not just be able to quote John 3:16, you know, God's the love of the world. But to really know it, to really know it in our hearts. To get into the scriptures about it. Like Alan's been doing in his class on Romans, showing us the grace of God and the love and the character of God. And we have to understand that. We have to understand our sin. We have to understand God forgives us for our sins to really grasp the depth of the love of God. And if you haven't dived into that deeply in the Bible, I would urge you to do that. Really, really dive in and grasp and understand the love of God. Because that's what the Bible, that's the theme of the Bible, that the love of God. And it's a deep topic. And that's the key to transformation. That's the foundation. And that's why Paul starts with it here. He says, I want your love to abound more and more. Because the more you understand the love of God, the more you're connected to the love of God, the more it affects you, then the more you can love other people. And the more you can have the transformed relationships we just talked about. When you have God's love. Because that's what changes us. That's what enables us to love people. Amen. Second, he talks about knowledge and all discernment. Knowledge and discernment. So we need love. That's the first and most important thing. We need that to grow. But then we need knowledge and discernment. Why? Because we're all stupid sometimes. Right? I mean, you can love but be stupid, right? And that's not good. Don't you hate being stupid? I mean, I hate being stupid. We had a dinner at a luncheon at my firm last week, our annual luncheon for my department. And you know, our department head was saying some things. And I made out loud a couple of humorous remarks, as is my wont. And then I just went too far, you know, and I said something really stupid. And at that point, there wasn't as much laughter, but people were just kind of looking at me, why did he say that? And I'm not going to repeat it to you today. It wasn't anything necessarily, I mean, bad, but I just, it was stupid, so I'd rather not be stupid up here today. But I'm telling you that I was. And you know, we're all stupid like that sometimes. But Paul says here, he prays that they would have discernment, that they would have knowledge. You know, knowledge. And we're not just talking about answering Jeopardy questions correctly, although I love to do that. And Jeopardy is something our family does on a regular basis, almost a religion. We like Jeopardy. Jeopardy, by the way, has an exclamation point after it in case you want Jeopardy. But we're not talking about that kind of knowledge. We're talking about the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the Bible, the knowledge of Jesus, the knowledge of His will for our lives. And the more we know that, the more discernment we have, the more wisdom we have, we are in a better place. Amen. We are in a better place. And again, you get that by, you know, pouring into God's Word and learning from people who know God's Word better maybe than you do and have more experience with it. And that's how we can grow. And then praying to God and asking for wisdom and asking for Him to give it to you like Paul is praying for them here. So that's something, a benefit of a relationship with God. Is that we can grow in knowledge. We can grow in discernment, knowing how to handle life. And then he goes on and he says that you may approve what is excellent. Approve what is excellent. You know, sometimes it's hard to know what's excellent. You know, it's hard to know what's right. You have a choice. I could do this or I could do this. You know, sometimes it's hard to know what's right. And so it's good that, God would give us the ability to approve what is excellent, to recognize what's excellent, what's right, what's the best way to go, what's the best decision, and to be able to approve it, not just know it, but to approve it, to want to do it, to take steps. You know, sometimes we know what's right, but it's just hard to do, right? We don't really want to do it. You know, we know, yeah, I ought to do that. I ought to have that talk, or I ought to throw that thing away, or turn that thing off, or whatever it is, but it's just hard to do. It's hard to do. And that's why he talks about approving it. And we want to approve what is excellent. You know, a lot of times in the world, we're pushed to approve what's not excellent. In fact, we're urged to approve what's evil or what's bad, or, you know, and folks will want us to go along with things that aren't good. But we want to approve what's excellent, approve what's good, approve what God wants us to do, what God wants us to be in our lives. And again, a great relationship with God makes that easier. As we are plugged into his love, as we are plugged into learning and having more knowledge and discernment, then we can approve what is excellent. It's like our mind becomes clearer. You know, it's not as foggy. I can see the path that I need to walk down. You know, God starts making it clearer for us. We can start making excellent choices in our life. We can start living a life that's more and more godly and feel better about it. That's what God can do. And then the next thing he says, be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. You know, there will be a day of Christ. The Bible teaches that plainly. He's coming back. And there will be a day of judgment. But it says here, we can be pure and blameless for that day. We can be ready. We can be prepared. We can be pure and blameless. You know, the temptation to be impure is all around us, all the time. You know, it's bombarding us everywhere, you know, in every form of media, you know, whether it's the internet or the television or music. It's just the temptation to impurity is there everywhere. Or you just see it. You know, for me at work, there's lots of attractive women who dress very attractively. And it's just there. The temptation is there. You know, and there are other things. You know, lust, there's greed. You know, our society bombards us with that. You know, wanting to fill our hearts with the desire for material things. The desire for more money. The desire for more stuff. You know, there's envy, jealousy. We start feeling bad about other people and what they have. You know, there can be anger and bitterness. You know, just things in our hearts that pollute our hearts about how we feel about other people. And maybe there have been things done wrong to us, but the Bible teaches us to forgive. The Bible teaches not to let those things fester and become bitter. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about getting above that, getting to overcome that and be pure and blameless. Pure and blameless in your heart. And that's what you can be when you have a great relationship with God. He can make that happen in your life. He can transform you and your heart. You know, it's so easy to indulge. It's so easy to compromise, to lose our integrity, to do those things we don't really want to do when we're in our right mind. But God can help us. We can be pure and blameless. We can become more and more like Jesus. We can become known as a blameless person. How would you like to have that kind of reputation? You know, not self-righteous, but just you have a good reputation. That's a person of integrity, a person who can be trusted, a person who is truthful, who has the respect of others. That's a great place to be. That's a great place to be, and God can help us get there. Amen. Then he says, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ. Again, imagine that, being filled with the fruit of righteousness. For righteousness is something that's just coming out of you. You know, you're a righteous person. You're filled with the fruit of righteousness. You know, the love, joy, peace, patience, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the things that make us better people, that make us treat other people better, make us handle situations better, make us closer to God. Those things, we can be filled with those things. All of this, again, coming from Jesus Christ, coming from our relationship with Him, from His grace, from His love, from His influence in our life. And then it says, to the glory and praise of God. When these things are happening, when we have this transformational relationship with God, it brings Him glory. You know, it brings God glory that He can transform sinful and imperfect people like us into better and better and better people. That brings God's glory. He shows us off. Look at them. They're following Jesus. Look, they're changing. They're growing. That brings God glory. And that's what I want to do. I want to bring God glory. Amen. You know, I've seen a close relationship with God change people in amazing ways. People in this room. Again, I won't name names. But people can tell incredible stories of transformation. People who have overcome alcohol or drug abuse. People have turned away from a life filled with sexual immorality or debauchery. Marriages brought back from the brink of divorce. I mean, we have stories like that in this room. You know, I was completely consumed by pornography. That's who I was before I became a disciple. Now, you can tell back then there was no internet. I can tell from my age. There was no internet back then, but there was still access to pornography. I worked in a drugstore where they were selling pornographic magazines, and I just had free access to them. And so I was very consumed by that, concerned really only about me and what I wanted. And I can still be tempted by those things. But God has given me tremendous victory. Amen. He has given me tremendous victory, transformed me from what I used to be. And He helps me resist going back to that when I'm tempted. And when I fall, He helps me get right back up and get right back on that right path. So we can have that kind of transformational relationship with God. And all the things that Paul talks about here. Talk to people here. If this is something you feels lacking in your life, but you want this, talk to people here. We can tell you stories, our stories, and we can help you find this. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, turn to chapter 4. My third and final question. Do you believe transformation can happen in your life? I know many of you do, but maybe some of you don't. Some of you aren't sure, or you're skeptical, or you've never seen that, or you tried it for a while and it worked, and then it seemed to stop working and you're stuck. Maybe you become discouraged and you know, struggling in your faith. Maybe it's just hard. But let's look at verse 19 in chapter 4. It says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory." Amen. See, it all comes from God. It's not up to us. I mean, we have to do it. We have to participate. We have to take hold of it. But it's God who will do it. It's God who will transform our lives. He will supply our needs. He will make these things happen. You know, from his riches and glory. And God has a lot of those two things. He has a lot of riches. He has a lot of glory. He has an enormous wealth of resources that He can help us change and transform our life. So that's what it's based on. It's not based on, oh, I don't know if I can do this. It's based on, but it's not just you. It's God can do this. God can do this according to His riches and glory. Amen? Now, many of you know that when I find a verse in the Bible that's also a song, that I like to sing it. Now, I don't know if y'all recognize that verse, but I tried to teach this song to campus recently, and I know some of us who have been around for a while have sung this song in the past. So we're going to close out trying to sing the song. I say try because I'll be leading. That has verse 19 in it. So join me if you know it. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. He shall give His angels charge over thee. Jehovah Jireh careth for thee, for thee, for thee. Jehovah Jireh careth for thee. Y'all can stand up now. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, is grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, is grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all your needs, hey, 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 according to his riches and glory. Hey, he shall give his angels charge over thee. Jehovah Jireh careth for thee, for thee, for thee. Jehovah Jireh careth for thee. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all your needs, hey, 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 according to his riches and glory. Hey, he shall give his angels charge over thee. Jehovah Jireh careth for thee, for thee, for me. Jehovah Jireh careth for me. Jehovah Jireh careth for me. Amen.
Y'all didn't know our elders can sing. Y'all didn't know that. Y'all didn't know that. Well, I think it's fitting that our theme for the year is being transformed. But the beauty of everything that he asked, for all those three questions, that it's only one thing that needs to be done. It's a decision. That's all there is. That is the first step. That is the hardest step, is being able to make a decision that you want to transform relationship, that you want to transform relationship with God, to have a transformed life. It's a simple decision. It's nothing more than that. And that's why at this time, you know, if you felt something in your heart, as you heard these questions being asked and you answer those questions in your heart, reach out to the person that you came with and say, you know what, I want to make a decision. Everything else will work out. Just be courageous enough to make the decision. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much because you've provided every opportunity to get to know you. God, if it's not from the world and the universe that you've created, from the things that we physically can see, it also comes from the things that we've experienced, that we know it has your signature on it. And so, God, I pray for all of us that those who hear your word, those who hear your calling, to make that decision, to be transformed. Father, you're there waiting with open arms. You're not worrying about anything that's been done in the past. You're not worrying about what's been happening today. All you're concerned with is with that one decision. So I pray, Father, that everyone here who hears your word will find encouragement, will find strength, and the ability to make this decision, to make that one step towards you, God. Father, we also want to say a special prayer for Glenn as well, that he has a quick recovery. And Father, we also want to pray for Kyle Ross as well, who's also recovering right now, that it'll be a speedy recovery for him as well. We thank you again for all the blessings you've given us, and bless those that who are not as blessed as us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.